she said, do you come from a land down under, where women glow and men plunder? Can't you hear the thunder? Yeah. You better run, you better take cover. Yeah. You better run, you better take cover.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cider Nation podcast, a unique baseball podcast brought to you by Jay Birdie Baseball Company. Get your Canadian baseball apparel at jaybirdie.ca and make sure to follow them on social media. Today, we have Hollywood actor and Mickey Scales from Little Big League, Tony Todd.
No, thanks for coming on, Tony.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
I guess first things first, Tony, could you talk to us a little bit about what sports looked like for you growing up?
Oh, it was great. I mean, you know, I grew up in here in Santa Monica, California, and, you know, I played football, baseball, and basketball, and it was year-round. We had something to do, like, especially in the summers, you know, since growing up here in Pacific Ocean here, you know, I believe it was like 9 to 11. You know, all my buddies, we would get up, we'd go to the local swimming pool here. Yes, black people can't swim. So, you know, so from 9 to 11, we would do that. And then after that, yep, we would just hop the fence and we'd go over to Santa Monica College and we would play tackle the man. Tackle the man is basically, you know, a game where it can be any object that you have. You toss it up and there's probably like 20, 30 kids. And whoever picks it up, they try to run that item into the end zone, you know. But believe me, you're getting hit pretty hard to make it there. And that was a game called Tackle the Man. Then we'll do that for a few hours. And after that, then we'll go play Over the Line. Everyone knows what Over the Line is, baseball game. You know, you play half the field. And then from there, a few hours there, then we would end the day at the beach, you know. Just, you know, boogie boarding, and that was it. And that was life. And it was great. You know, I grew up with some great athletes here in Santa Monica. And that's, as kids, that's what we did, you know. No video games.
And I
guess
a little more specific. I guess a little more specifically, like, Tony, like, how did it look baseball-wise for yourself?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it all started off great. You know, I was playing on, it's called Sunset Little League here, where it all started. And, you know, over the years, you know, you had some great players play on that field. You know, you had Tyler Skaggs from the Angels. Rick Monday was I think the first draft was in 64. I think Rick Monday was like the first player picked in that draft, and he's from Santa Monica. So you have a plethora amount of ball players who played on that field. But, you know, we had a pretty good team. The Indians, we won the city championship 3 years in a row. And, you know, and it was just great. I mean, you know, the competition was great because, you know, every team, you know, growing up, they had at least 5 to 6 great players on the team. So you were always, we've always competed. So, but other than that, it was fine. It was fine.
And then college-wise there, Tony, kind of what did that look like for yourself? You know, we were kind of talking a little bit last week. You ended up kind of, you play a little bit of both?
Yeah, you know, it's you know, my story is so compelling because, you know, growing up, I was, you know, I never liked to talk about myself, but, you know, I did. But it's just what it is. I mean, growing up, I was one of the better athletes here in Santa Monica, what people would say, you know. And, you know, heading into high school, you know, I started high school in the 10th grade. We didn't start in the 9th grade like the kids do now. So going into my sophomore year, you know, it was a big deal because, you know, football and sports was very big in Santa Monica. It was like, you know, we had like Dennis Thurman played for USC, played for the Denver Broncos, Dennis Smith. I mean, Dennis Smith played for the Denver Broncos. Dennis Thurman played for the Cowboys. And, you know, these are all Santa Monica young men that we looked up to. We had guys like Rod Allen and Stanley Younger. And, Rod Allen played for the Detroit Tigers. He does commentary now for the Florida Marlins. He was with the Detroit Tigers doing commentary for years. You know, Stanley Younger, Naaman Thompson, just a lot of kids we looked up to. So, and the guys I attended high school with, these guys are like 5-6 years younger. I mean, older than we were. So when we're in like elementary school, these guys are like our heroes. So we always wanted to be like them. So, just for instance, like my high school football team, when we won the CIF championship, and, most people know about Long Beach Poly High School. They were ranked like number one in the nation, and we beat them in the CIF championship. And 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 5 guys off that team attended University of Southern California, USC, and that was always been my favorite school since I was a kid. And I would have been the 6th one, I believe, but due to a major injury my senior year, it just it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen. So, going into my senior season, I was, one of the better running backs in Southern California. That's according to coaches and my coach. So it's not my ego saying that. I'm just going by what the papers would say. But we had my friend Aaron Brown, Junior Thurman, Sam Anno, Keith Davis, they all attended USC just from that one team. And, off that team, you had other guys that went to other colleges like Arizona State, Darren Willis, Andre Holland with the Oregon, and so on and so on. So, my first game of the season, I think I had 200 and some yards, 3 touchdowns. And then our second game of the season, we're playing our rivalry Palisades High School. They're like right up the coast there, and they're not in our division, but since it's in the community, we would play them. And I think I had like 3 carries for like 81 yards, and then the 4th carry, I remember our coach had called a pitch right, so there was nothing there. So I just said I thought I would just turn it up for just to get 2 or 3 yards out of it, because it was a busted play. And yeah, when I made that decision, I looked up and my leg was straight, but my toe was sitting, in Canada somewhere. So that's how bad the break was. Yeah, that's how bad the break was. So my senior season is just gone. I had a cast all the way up to my hip. And then after that cast came off, I had another cast. So that's how it all started. It all started like that from being on top of the mountain to like everything just crashing down. So eventually, all the offers that I had, USC, Oklahoma, Nebraska, at that time I could have went anywhere to play football. So that's basically what happened. So after that, I just ended up I had to go to a junior college, cause I went, I'm playing football and baseball. And then, as I'm playing football again, another injury occurred. I'm running for a touchdown. Instead of going to the side of the end zone, I wanted to go right directly in the middle of the end zone because, I had busted a, long run. And as I cut, I tore my hamstring from right off the bone. And it was just like, something's telling me something. I don't think I'm meant to be doing this. I don't know, but in the long run, I did earn a scholarship to the college after that to play baseball, and then of course I get hurt again, and it was, I don't know, it's just maybe it was the man upstairs just telling me you have to do something else. And then this one, it gets very interesting. I come home, I start working for the, after college, after I graduated, I start working for the city of Santa Monica, and I'm driving by a park that we used to play at as kids called Marine Park, a friend of mine. And I look and I see that there's like 250 guys on the baseball field. And I wanted to see what was going on. So, I get out the car, I walk over there. And I don't remember who I asked, but they said they were casting a baseball movie. And I was like, oh, that's great. So my friend drops me off. I put my uniform back on. I head back down to the park. But when I get there, they told me I could not audition because I did not have an agent. And I'm just like, I'm basically begging these people, like, please, you have to let me audition. Because the guys out there, they were dressed in like just T-shirts and jeans and tennis shoes. You know, I come back, I'm in full baseball uniform, right? And, you know, after 10, 15 no's, I believe it was the producer or the director, one of them said, they asked me if I could play. And not out of just spite of having an ego, it was just being confident because I'm looking at what my competition looks like on the field there. So they asked me if I could play, and I said, most likely, I'm probably better than everyone you have out there. So, and they laughed. It's the same thing you did. They just laughed, and they said, well, we've been hearing that all day. And I said, well, you just give me an opportunity, and I'll just show you. So they had the L screen up. You know, you're a baseball player, so you know what the L screen is. Most people do not.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
They gave each guy 10 swings, but they gave me 5. So I hit the first 4 over the fence. So and then on the last one, this is a true story. So on the last one, they told me to run to first base, just hit a line drive, you know, in the gap. And they told me to run. So back in the day, I can run a little bit. I didn't stop at first. I ran all the way around. I did a pop-up slide at home plate, you know. And from there, they just kept, come here, what have you been in? What shows have you done? I said, I've never acted before in my life. And they asked me if I would come to Castle Rock Entertainment. I had no clue what Castle Rock Entertainment was. And they informed me that they did movies like A Few Good Men, when Harry Met Sally, you know, movies like that. So I went there the next day. And the casting director, she handed me, they're called sides, you know, it's part of the script that you have to you know, read to audition.
Okay.
So I picked up the side to see me, and I had no clue what I was doing. So I was just reading it like I was reading a book, no eye contact with her. And I'm pretty sure she knew that was my first time auditioning. So she informed me, she said, would you mind just taking this home and go over it? I was like, okay, yeah. So without naming names, I have a friend in the business that who's a very popular actor. So I reached out to him for advice, and I forwarded him the sides to the script, and he says to me, he said, let me tell you something. He said, if you can't play this role, you should never try to act again in your life. Right. Because, you know, it's you, you're a baseball player, you're an athlete, and it's just you being yourself. So I just took those notes, and I went back the next day, and the casting director said, hey, that's 100% improvement. So I read for her like 2 more times. And then I think the 4th time I read for Steve Nicolaitis, the executive producer who did the movie Boys in the Hood. He liked what okay. I did, and they told me on the 5th time, I'm going to meet, basically like a screen test, I'm going to meet all the, you know, all the suits from the studio. So I went, and by now, I know this stuff like the back of my hand. So I'm in there reading. I get to like page 3. They told me to stop reading, and they asked me if I ever been to Minnesota. I said, no, but I know Kirby Puckett there, right? And they said, yeah, well, we just want to let you know you got the part of Mickey Scales in the movie Little Big League. And then that's how it all started. And I was like, this is incredible. So that happened. And that's how I got into the business.
And I mean, that was a pretty cool movie, right? Because they actually brought in like a lot of big leaguers for that movie, right? Like for, you know, like, was it like Randy Johnson, like Ken Griffey Jr., like,
Tim Raines, Randy Johnson, Ken Griffey Jr., Sandy Alomar. I mean, it was a plethora amount of stars. And it was just like the entire time, I'm just in heaven because these are the young men that we look up to. Everyone looks up to. Yeah. I mean, it was great to to, you know, at the time, you know, to meet one of my favorite athletes, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, and to watch Randy Johnson, you know, pitch like that up close. That was amazing. That was amazing. Tim Raines. I mean, you know, look at the Hall of Famers there in that movie. Tim Raines, Randy Johnson, Ken Griffey Jr. If I'm missing someone, please help me. Alomar would have been, but, you know, I don't know what happened there. Pudge Rodriguez. Yeah, this was incredible. And you're in Minnesota for like, I don't know, 4 months or so. And it was a dream come true. It was a dream come true, considering I had like $342 in my savings account. But it was awesome, man. And I met some great people. You know, Luke Edwards, nice. The kid. You know, everyone on the crew. Dwayne Davis. You know, he's from California. Just incredible. He just took me under his wing because our hotels were right next to each other. Now, you have to remember, this is before cell phones. It was incredible. I met Ashley Crow, you know, the mother in the movie. She was just unbelievable. So nice to me. And, you know, and now, you know, her great karma, her kid is one of the best baseball players in the world. You know, he was drafted number one by the Mets at the time. His name is Pete Crow Armstrong. And now he's the rookie's like number one guy now. He should be up in the big leagues this year. And it's just the relationships you meet with people is just, it's unbelievable, you know. And I'm not leaving out everyone else, you know, on the crew. I mean, you know, Timothy Busfield, what a delight. You know, I can go on and on and on about all these, like Kevin Elster, you know, he played shortstop, I played second, Troy Starr, Tony, I mean, Lonnie Ritter. I mean, it's just great. It was unbelievable. Basically, it felt like I was dreaming, Jeff. It's like I'm in a dream. And then I was like, please don't let me wake up from this dream. Yeah. Cause I would have did the movie for free. I'll be honest with you, you know? Yeah. And it was just great. And the people in Minnesota are just, they're just such nice people, So.
Yeah. And that's kind of where, you know, like there was that YouTube video and it was kind of going into like kind of that, you know, that Twins team for the movie and like how most of the players actually had a baseball background. Right. And, you know, like you mentioned, Elster actually was in the bigs. Right. I'm just kind of curious, like, how do you think if you had that team together for a season, would you have done okay? Or like maybe like an independent ball would have been a competitive team?
The reason why I say that is because, you know, I left out Scott Patterson. This guy was incredible. I forgot what organization he pitched for, but I mean, I think at one point where were we? I want to say Boston and Kevin. You know, wasn't it Kevin O'Neill played for the Yankees? Is it O'Neill? I forget his name.
Paul O'Neill.
Paul O'Neill, true story.
My man
cracked his bat. He broke his bat while he was pitching. Scott Patterson. And this guy, Scott, he could bring it. Yeah, I just wish they would just have like some, like, you know, because most baseball movies, you don't get that kind of talent where, you know, everyone can play. And that's how I judge baseball movies. Because the first thing you do, you watch someone throw, you know, if they cannot throw, you know, the movie's going to be just trash. You know,
you can kind of tell.
Yeah. They have to cut everything all tied up close. But I mean, we had ballers on our team, man. And I wish we had did like some tour. We would go out and play guys. I mean, we could actually win some games. Some games, man. But, and it was a dream, yeah. It was a dream. And still to this day, people say, hey, what's your favorite thing you've ever done? It's being in the movie Little Big League. I'll never forget it. It's just like, I remember the guy. this is a great story. I remember the guy when they told me I got the part. So I went to Houston to train with a friend of mine before the movie started, because he was getting ready to do a film as well. So my college baseball coach, Ken Medlock, who was actually in Moneyball, he plays a character by Grady Fussine. He's my college baseball coach. So we went off to Houston.
Yeah.
So we would train there for like a week or two before it was time to leave. So when we come back, I'll never forget the guy. He rings my doorbell, and he's like, "Hey, Tony." I was like, "Yes, sir." He's like, "Okay." So I go grab my bags, you know, that I'm taking. So he takes my bags. I was just like, "Yeah, I've never had someone take my bag." You know? So I'm like, "No, man, I'll get this," you know. And he's like, "No." So we're arguing for like 30 seconds. He said, "Okay, you take one, I take one." So I walk downstairs. I mean, there's a limo from Santa Monica to Los Angeles. It's so long, right? So I was like, we got 3-4 hours left. So I was like, I get on the phone. I was like, wait, hold up. Why are we going through the airport so early? You know, we don't need to be there so early. So I called one of my childhood friends, Fernando Cornejo, who lives literally right around the corner. I said, "Hey, you have to come by and see this, man. This is awesome." So he comes by and, you know, we take a ride in the limo, and, you know, because that was like my first time ever being in a limo. Well, my own limo at the time. So it was just everything about that movie was just fun. It was fun. And the people and the relationships I meet, the relationships that I've met, and I'm still friends with everyone today.
So. Yeah. Nice. Well, and then after that there, Tony, like, you know, kind of, you know, got into the movie world. I think I read you were in the Scout as well? Or
yeah,
did you do some other baseball
movies? Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, after the movie screened, I did the movie. Actually, I did Higher Learning first, with the late John Singleton. I think he was at the premiere. And a movie called Higher Learning came out with Omar Epps and a few other people. And I was portraying a track athlete with very prominent actor today is Morris Chestnut, who was in Boys in the Hood and, you know, many other films and TV shows. So we did that, and that was awesome. And then I got the Scout with Brendan Fraser. That was really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for his comeback. I think he won Academy Award this year. And, you know, to be able to work with him, that was great. I have some camera time. I'm just playing one of the Yankee players. And, you know, he has a meltdown right before the national anthem. Well, during the national anthem. And he takes off. So, yeah, so after that, I portrayed the role of Jackie Robinson. I forget the name of this, the episode. It may come back to me. And then I was on the TV show Anger Management for like, I don't know, I did like 50, 60 episodes with, you know, with my friend, everyone knows it's Charlie Sheen. I had the opportunity to work with him. So that was really cool. That was just basically, I was in acting class for the 50, 60 episodes because, you know, I played the guard, the police officer on the show. So, you know, yeah, I had dialogue, but not as much as, of course, you know, the main actor. So I was just soaking up all this information, watching them do their thing and just learning, you know, and it was awesome. It was awesome. And then after that, you know, I was sitting around the table with my buddy and I get a text just out of the blue. I have a friend I grew up with named Lisa Satriano. We played baseball together, Little League. And, you know, she's one of the best women athletes to come out of Santa Monica High, her and her sister Gina. I get a text and she says, "Tony Todd, is this still you?" I was like, "Yeah, what's up? What's up, big time?" Because I know, you know, I haven't spoken to her in like 6 years, but I've been keeping up with her career. She did Spider-Man, Thor, Ragnarok, you know, Straight Outta Compton, like all these huge movies. And then next thing you know, she sends me a text back, "Stop playing around." And I was like, you know, because I like to have fun. I like to just keep it light, you know, because I'm a happy-go-lucky guy, man. I want everyone, if I'm happy, I want everyone else to be happy. But I know she had a job to do. So she just says to me, "Tony T, is this still you?" And I write her back. I send her a photo of myself and Ronald McDonald. And then that's when she said, hey, I just want to know if you would like to be a stunt actor in my movie that I'm the first AD on called Black Panther. And I was like, oh, you know, I don't curse too much, but I said, oh, hell yeah, that'd be awesome, right? So she said, okay, someone will be contacting you within the next hour or two. So I hang the phone up. Someone called me back in like a minute and a half. Say, hey, this is, I forget the young lady's name. Do you have a first class flight to Atlanta at 6 p.m.? So at the time, I was staying at my friend's house. I get all my stuff together. I come here to Santa Monica and I take off. I go to Atlanta. I come back like 4 months later. And it was just incredible, man. Just to be a part of something like that. You know, you made history, you know, been part of the Marvel family and been part of, you know, Black Panther, you know, because usually I'm in front of the camera, you know, acting, but this is great, you know, because I have a athletic background. So, you know, as being a stunt actor. So it was another crash course in just learning different things in the business. And I'm so glad I got into it. I just wish it was 20 years earlier, but it's because the training we had to go through was intense. I mean, it's a 6 a.m. call, you know, you're off at 6 p.m. You get 1 hour break, but you're training the entire time because, you know, we had to look like those warriors and soldiers that we were. And, you know, it's just, you know, I'll be honest with you, Jeff, I have great friends in my life, man. And I've always been taught to just treat people the way you want to be treated. And it all comes back. It all comes back. And for Lisa to entertain that and to have me out on such a huge film, you know, I'm indebted for life with her, man, because it's just, she didn't have to do that. She did not have to do that.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, and Tony, you mentioned, you know, a friend of yours, Charlie Sheen. He's a big baseball fan from, you know, obviously, you know, and even a major league, right? But he can play, right? He could actually throw.
Hey, like, Charlie, you know, people, if I wanted to, we could go on tour and I could just take bets that, you know, oh, Charlie hit it out of that stadium. He can hit it out of that stadium. Because it's like that movie, remember White Man Can't Jump? You know.
Yep.
The movie, yeah, everyone thought that the guy, I forget the actor's name, couldn't really play basketball. And, you know, Woody Harrelson. Yeah. Wesley Snipes. And he's just sitting on the side. We could go on tour and I can probably become a multimillionaire. Because, of course, people are like, oh, no, Charlie can't hit. Charlie can't do this. He can't do that. Charlie can hit. And we have documents that he can hit. He hit it out of Dodger Stadium. Out of Dodger Stadium. You know, he was filming a DirecTV commercial, right? And, you know, during lunchtime, I convinced the owners to let us, you know, Charlie take a few swings. And, you know, I had a little wager on the side that he can take it out, you know. So, and so I think it was pitch number like 4 or 5, because he was just warming up. It would have been like pitch 3, but a friend of mine, his name is Greg Smith. We call him Smitty. He was on the project as well. He robbed him of the home run at first. It went straight down the line. And Charlie was like, he wasn't pissed. It was funny, but it was very funny that he just took the home run away. But, you know, because he has a very nice swing. He taught himself how to bat left-handed. He had built his own batting cage at his house and would just take hack after hack after hack. So if you could, I mean, even on this video, I think I can send you the video and you'll see it. He hits it out of Dodger Stadium over the 375-385 sign, and no one could believe it. It was just incredible. And people, they're probably listening to this right now. It's like, yeah, right. It was probably a superimposed. No, I will send you the video, and you can let whoever watches this podcast see it. So, he loves baseball. He's a huge Cincinnati Reds fan, and you know we talk baseball every night, you know,
nice.
His team is the Reds, and you know they have that guy Ellie De La Cruz that's just killing it right now. So,
And people yeah, they're turning things around the Reds.
Yeah, and they have that shortstop McClain and, you know, some young pitching. Yeah. I think they'll, you know, I think they'll be all right. So, but yeah, he's a good guy. He's my best friend. And people's like, oh, yeah, of course he's your best friend. You guys probably met on the set somewhere. It's like, no. We met as kids growing up in Malibu and Santa Monica. You know, I've been knowing him for.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So that's them. But people think that, you know, we just met once he became a star. No, I met him before he was a star, you know, and a lot of people don't know that. So they kind of judge my relationship with him. They just think I'm hanging around with him just because who he is. Nah. You got the wrong guy. And, you know, he would tell you the same thing. We've been friends before he became a celebrity. You know, played together at Santa Monica High School. So, but the videos are out there somewhere on YouTube. Someone posted them. So.
Yeah, I'll have to find those.
Yeah, and hopefully, I don't know where this is going. You know, I don't know if you have Facebook, whatever, but you should let your fans see it because they will be thoroughly impressed.
Yeah, because I didn't know he could hit. Hey, like I definitely was reading. Like I've always kind of heard that he could pitch, right? Like from Major League, obviously from his character. But I didn't know he could hit.
Yeah, he can hit very well. Like I said, he had the best batting cage in his house up in Malibu. You pull up the driveway, and he had the top notch batting cage, and he was just going there and just swing it. Because he's naturally a right-handed hitter, but he hurt his shoulder, so he decided he wanted to bat left-handed, and sure enough, you know.
Wow.
Practice pays off. Very impressive. Yeah. Cause you think about it. No one would ever believe that if they did not see it in person or watch the video. You would never think that.
No. Yeah. Very true.
Yeah. And he has a really, really good arm, too. Really good arm.
So. Yeah, like I said, that's what I've kind of read more about as far as kind of the baseball side. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And just all in all, I tell you, great guy, man. It's just, you know, to grow up with someone like that and, you know, like our high school, we had so many like different celebrities at our high school, but they were not involved in the business when we were in high school. Well, maybe I think Rob Lowe was, because Rob Lowe and I attended high school as well. So, but everyone else, I think they got their start after high school. I can be wrong because, you know, I was just concentrating on sports. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But it was a really nice high school to attend, you know, in the 80s, but. And everyone is doing very well for themselves. So,
was there any other of, you know, those kind of, you know, celebrities that were good at baseball that you remember?
Oh, yeah. Dean Cain could play. Remember Superman?
Superman. Okay.
Yeah. Dean Cain was a great athlete, man.
Yeah,
we actually played together. We played football together at Santa Monica High. He went off to Princeton, and, you know, he was really good. So are you just talking about just at my high school or just area?
Yeah, I guess, in the area, or like, kind of any other, good baseball player that you remember.
But are actors now or just, you know, at the time?
Yeah.
You know what was really good? Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr. The basketball coach for the Golden State Warriors. He was the Palisades High School.
He could play.
He was really good, man. He went to they're more city. They're city baseball. We're CIF. Really good. And I have a friend named Mike McCaffrey who I think he hit a home run off of him to to win the championship, I believe. And he told me that story. You know, Mike is not the kind of guy that, you know, boasts about himself, but he told me that story a few weeks ago that he broke Steve Kerr's heart back in high school. I never knew that. I never knew that after so many years. And then sure enough, it was a true story. So And but yeah, I'm telling you, man, it was great growing up in this area, in Santa Monica. And then you have the surrounding cities of Culver City and, you know, Malibu, yeah, and Marina Del Rey. But it's been a plethora of great talent who have come from this area. You know, you got Lucas Giolito, Scott and Tyler Heineman, Connor Green, all these guys played in the big leagues. Max Fried, they all played in the big leagues. And the people I went to school with, like Yvette Lee Bowser, she created the show Living Singles and worked on the show Blackish and moved in the TV series Dear White People. Her son is one of the best, college baseball players right now. He plays for Stanford. Remember his name. His name is Drew Bowser.
Okay.
He attended Santa Monica High School, but his mom's from Santa Monica. He went to Harvard Westlake High School. And you know, they have Max Fried and Lucas Giolito and the pitcher from the St. Louis Cardinals. I forget his name. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of great talent comes from this area, man. So, you know, for instance, you got like J.P. Crawford plays for the Seattle Mariners right now. Dominique Smith, you know, these are all first round guys. Dominique Smith is with the Washington Nationals, you know, and I went to high school with Dijon Watson, who's he's head of player development right now with the Washington Nationals, but he used to be assistant GM of the Dodgers, Arizona Diamondbacks. And, he was my quarterback in high school. And we go back like hair grease. It's just all these people I grew up with are just doing so very well for themselves, you know?
Well, and Tony, I was just going to say, like, you've been kind of touted like, you know, like one of the, you know, the greatest celebrity slow pitch player. Like, do you still kind of play a bunch of celebrity events or slow pitch, or where did that come from?
Well, that's funny, man. It's just like, you know, if I, and like yourself, you're an ex-athlete, right? If you get across those lines, you're going to play hard, right? You're going to play hard.
Yeah.
I would get invited, you know, from doing the movie Little Big League back in the day, I would get invited to the celebrity all-star game in whatever city it is for Major League Baseball. But I'm out there there's Dave Winfield, Fred Lynn, Ozzie Smith, I mean, Ernie Banks. I mean, you name it. I'm on the field with these guys, right? And I'm thinking, what's better to, you know, if I get the opportunity, I'm going all out because I want to win. I'm showing that, you know,
yeah.
I want to win. I want to win, man. So I don't recall what state, maybe it was in Houston. I had made this play. I think Jimmy Kimmel was up the bat. It's so funny because he always shows the video when he hits the ball over the fence. I think the fence was 2 feet. He hit it over the fence, and he always shows that on his show. But he never shows the one where he pops up, and I go running to the crowd, and I fall down, and I'm like, you know, it was just epic. So Harold Reynolds, Kenny Mayne, and Ozzie Smith. It started with those guys, you know, giving me the name as the greatest celebrity softball player ever. So, but I know that I'm not. But I mean, there's so many other guys. But I just did something at that time that, you know, everyone liked. You know, I go for this ball. I just play hard when I'm on the field. I want to win. I want to win at anything I do. So, but it's kind of funny to have that title, the greatest celebrity softball player ever, like negative, but I'll take it. I'll take it, you know,
and just
to have like Harold Reynolds or Kenny Mayne or Ozzie Smith to have that come out of their mouth is like incredible. And, you know, speaking of, oh, there's a video out there where they're interviewing Ozzie Smith after like one of the games. And this is live, right? And he said, Tony Todd's the best celebrity player I've ever played with, blah, blah, blah. And he started breaking down my game. I was like, that's kind of cool, you know?
That's very cool.
That's kind of cool to have someone, you know, a Hall of Famer say that about you, man. You know, but I just like to have fun. But when I'm playing sports, I take it very seriously. You know, even if it's a little celebrity game, I want to win the game because they're going to talk about the winner. Then they're going to talk about the losers, you know? So, it's very funny.
Ozzy wouldn't bring up your name if that wasn't the case, right?
Or... No, exactly. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. That's what Ozzy said.
No.
Ozzy said that. I didn't say that, you know. But I'll run with it. I'll take it, you know. And like I said, I hope people can watch this. Hopefully you'll put it on your site or wherever this platform is being distributed, you know.
Yeah,
and then they
for
can
sure.
see. Yeah, let them make their own decision, you know. So, but it's just great to be surrounded by good people, man, you know, because I'm a positive person and I want everyone else to be positive, you know.
Yeah. Well, and then baseball, what does it look like now for you there, Tony? Like, do you get to many MLB games or, what does it look like now for yourself?
Like, speaking of that, I'm going tomorrow. I have my friend Carlos Estevez. I think he just set a franchise record for the Angels, 18 straight saves or something like that. And they're playing the Dodgers tomorrow. So I'm going to go to that game tomorrow. But, you know, my favorite team is the Dodgers. And, you know, I have friends, Sharon and Joe Hernandez from Melissa's Produce. They often call me and ask me to go to the game with them. And, oh, my goodness, man. Like I said, I'm dreaming again. I mean, they have the best seats in the house. I mean, there's no one in front of me except the players. I mean, they're right front row, I don't go. That's the kind of seats they have. And then, you know, I'm so grateful that they take the time out and offer me to come, you know, watch games with them. But, no, I love baseball. I love all that's sports. Awesome. And to be that close and for them to give me that opportunity, man, like I said, I have the best friends in the world. I told you, man. And I'm so grateful for that. And it's Sharon and Joe from Melissa's Produce, and their produce is the best produce in the nation. Just, you know, look it up and you'll decide for yourself and you call me. He's like, oh, you're right. You know, but So I just love the game, like I said. And another thing, I had the opportunity, not last summer, the summer before that, Topps Trading Cards reached out to me. And they asked me if I wanted to interview some of the players during spring training, you know, asking them, like, was it like seeing your face on a Topps Trading Card for the first time? And, you know,
very cool. And
what kind of influence did your dad have on you? Yeah, that was really cool. You know, it's just through my connections of, you know, I have a friend who used to work for Topps, David Real, and I met all those guys, and they know that I have a good relationship with the player, so they wouldn't have a problem coming on camera talking with me, and then they offered me that opportunity, and I just loved it, you know. So that's
nice.
Baseball wise, that's what I do now. Then I'll call Harold Reynolds and tell them if there's some good kids out here in California and who I like, and, you know, I haven't been wrong yet. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, and then Tony, like, obviously with this being Sidearm Nation, like, is there any Sidearm Submarine pitchers that maybe stand out for you?
Right. And that's an art that you have, man. And it's just like, there's no one around here.
Yeah.
I haven't seen, and I go to a bunch of games, you know, my friend, like I was saying, Mike McCaffrey, his son played at UC Irvine, but his son played at UC Irvine. Yeah. They have one sidearm guy, but I don't know what class he is. So I can't really speak too much about him because, you know, if he's not draft eligible, I don't want to say something and put that curse on the guy. I should find out. Next time we talk, I'll find out and see if he's, like, draft eligible. Yeah, because you did start off as a sidearmer, right?
No, I dropped down in kind of my first year of pro ball. It was basically halfway through the season. Manager called me in the office and kind of, politely said I was, you know, you should try this, but you could kind of see the writing on the wall. I was probably getting released.
Right,
so basically,
right.
You need to try this.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, are you a lefty?
I'm a lefty, yeah.
Oh, man, that's so nasty. I was watching the College Baseball World Series yesterday, and they brought a sidearm in from was it Oral Roberts? And wait, it was either Oral Roberts or TCU, man. And this guy was just dirty. He was nasty. And he came out of the pen.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel bad for I felt bad for that left-handed hitter that was up. And
I think that was Wiedermeyer or whatever. He's still
It's nasty, man. And that's a, you know, that's a specialty that you have. It's just like, you know, and here's another thing. I mean, a good side armor is great, but the only way, this is my opinion, you tell me if I'm wrong or not. The only way a woman could play professional baseball at this level, MLB, this is my opinion. If she can throw a knuckleball, think about it. If there was a knuckleball, think about that. If there's a knuckleball pitcher that can throw strikes and she knew how to throw it every pitch. I think that's the only way it could happen.
No, absolutely. Like, especially the way the game is going with velocity, right? Like
exactly.
It's nothing against, you know, that there's some good, there's some good female baseball talent on the uprise. It's good to see.
I love it. I had a friend, you look it up. She was one of the first women baseball players to play Little League Baseball back in the 80s. A young lady by the name of Gina Satriano. I looked that name up. And then she played on the Colorado Bullets. Remember that professional baseball team that they had?
Remember that. They played like indie teams or whatever.
Yes, sir. I mean, she's an incredible athlete. And that's her sister, Lisa, is the one that put me in the movie Black Panther 1 and 2. They're just really good athletes. So if you guys get a chance, look up Gina Satriano and Lisa Satriano. And actually, her dad in the 70s, I believe it was, and that he played for the California Angels, Tom Satriano. So, you know, the genetics are there. But, I mean, because women, I mean, like I said, it would be great. You know, I would attend. They had like a women's like Major League Baseball league. That would be awesome. Bring the stadiums in just a little bit, you know. Yep. I would bring the mounds in a little bit closer. And yeah, there's some women out there that can play, man, because I love watching college softball. That's a skill in itself.
Oh, yeah,
man.
It's intense. Yeah.
Intense. Yeah. And they pack the stadium. I think they get more fans than the regular guys, the college baseball teams, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's intense, man. So
no, and then Tony, it's just time for a ninth inning call to the bullpen. So just gonna be some random questions just to learn a little bit more about you.
Let's do it.
Favorite NHL team?
I'm from LA, so I got to go with the Kings.
Do you go to many Kings games?
Well, there's a story behind that one as well. Remember? I mentioned my friends Sharon and Joe from Melissa's Produce. You know, they have the tickets for the Angels and the Dodgers and Lakers. So they invited me once to a game, to a hockey game. And only time I've seen hockey is on SportsCenter, right? Man, I show up there. I have like this little mini T-shirt on to a hockey game. I never knew it got that cold at a game, man. It's just like I was freezing. But I didn't know the game was that fast. And their seats, like I tell you, their seats were like, you go to hockey game, you don't see too many brothers on the glass, you know, sitting in the stands. I was the only brother right there in the front row on the glass. But you get so into the game, I'm pounding on the glass. So that's how I was able to warm myself up. I'm sorry. It was through them. I got into hockey. It's been like 7-8 years now. So, and it's because of my friends Sharon and Joe from Melissa's Produce who invited me. So that's it. All right. Great friend.
That's awesome. Like, just like it definitely, like, just to you know, see different sports too. Like, I've always enjoyed, like even when I played in Australia, getting to go to, like, you know, watching professional cricket and, like,
right.
You know, like,
it's fun. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah.
Favorite travel destination?
Travel destination? Wow, that's really good. Okay. I say this because, and it's always a story behind it. You know, I've been a bunch of places, and it's only because, you know, of my friend Charlie. You know, I tell him I live ghetto rich through him. You know, but so far it's been, I love Japan. I love the cleanly. They're so clean. Everything's on time. The food is great. And like I said, I have great friends. The only reason I was able to go there is because, I don't know if you remember the ball player Alex Ochoa. Alex Ochoa played for Milwaukee Brewers. He won the World Series with the Angels the last time they won the World Series. So after his contract was up, he went to Japan. So, you know, his parents were getting up in age, and I guess in his contract that, you know, his friends could come visit. So I could not believe it, man. I went there and it was just unbelievable. I loved it. Landed at Narita Airport and, you know, went to the games. It was like I was part of the team. You know, I would travel with them, to Nietzsche Dragons, and it was all because of my friend Alex Ochoa. So I'll say Japan.
How was the baseball over there? Were you impressed?
When you see grandmothers riding their bikes to the game, that's how much into it they are. I mean, I've seen ladies 70, 80 years old on bikes, and the crowd is just, everyone should witness a baseball game in Japan. Every guy has like a song that they sing. And it is incredible. It's nonstop action, nonstop. And the good thing is, like, if you're the player of the game, they have this thing called fight pay. You know, they give you all this extra cash and an envelope, and they give you like this, what do you call these things that kids like, these little dolls, not dolls, but stuffed animals after the game. They present it to you, which is, it's just unbelievable. And the best thing is, you know, you go to a baseball game, you always see all kind of, you see a bunch of trash on the ground, right? Not one piece of trash in the stadium
at all.
It is just unbelievable. And everything is on time, man. I love their culture. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, even just, you know, my encounters with, you know, playing against Team Japan or coaching against Team Japan, like, they leave their dugout, like, spotless when they leave.
Spotless. And you better know how to bunt, because they're going to find you. You cannot bunt the ball.
Yes. And such great, like, barrel control with their bat. Like, it's impressive.
Yeah. Really good people. Really good people, man.
Yeah. All time favorite professional wrestler.
Oh, man. Okay. You're really digging there now. All right. Well, let me go. I was never into wrestling, but I'll just go with, you know, I think I have a buddy who represents him. I'll just go with Hulk Hogan.
Okay. Yeah.
He was a wrestler, right? I'll go Hulk Hogan.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great personality, outgoing, you know, because I probably know two wrestlers, Hulk Hogan and The Rock. But so I'll go with Hulk Hogan.
And, you know, this question a little bit different, right? Because obviously you've been in some baseball movies, but, like, what would be your favorite baseball movie of all time?
Favorite baseball movie of all time? No doubt. Major League. Major League is my favorite. Right. Yeah. And that's just, that's not just saying because my buddy Charlie was in it. It's just, I mean, Major League. Wesley Snipes, when he thought he was cut and he's laying in the room and he wakes up, oh, man, I've been cut already. I was just like, and then he starts running. He runs out there because they were running the 60. And then the young man said, get that guy in uniform, right? But he couldn't hit, you know. But he could run. He said, like, get him a uniform. And then the scene when someone asked Charlie, what league you been in?
California Pinot. I was just like, it's Major League. It's Major League. But a close second is.
Yeah.
Close second is I'm going with Bad News Bears. And the only reason I say Jeff, is because as a kid around that age, I'm like 10, 9, 11 years old. I see this brother in the movie. And all I thought about, man, that should have been me. You know what I'm saying? You know? I would have loved to have been in Bad News Bears. They had the one black kid on the team. So, but I like that movie as well.
Well, I got a question for you. Like, kind of with the Oakland Athletics right now, like, it kind of feels like the Major League movie a little bit, no? Or, like, just kind of the way it, you know, they're trying to relocate in a weird way, but
trying to relocate? They need to get hell out of Oakland, man. When you attend a game and there's like 22 people at the game, it's like, come on.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
How can you make money? Yeah. How can you make money? You know, if you're not going to support your team, it's time to leave. You know, I mean, because I know if they go to Vegas, they'll sell out every night. They will sell out every night in Vegas. You know, I feel sorry for
that's
the
what it's
people
looking who, like, right? They're going to go to Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I feel sorry for the people who are A's fans, but hey, you guys aren't supporting your team. So, hey, you might as well let someone else support them, you know?
Yeah.
No, seriously, I don't know if you watch their game. I mean, they may get 1,000 people at the game, if that.
Oh, it's.
It's sad.
I think their AAA team is getting more people, right? In like Sacramento or, you know,
exactly. Yeah. And it's a great organization. I have friends who work for that organization. My friend Chad Huss does all the groundskeeping there. And then Billy Owens, look his name up. He's GM of the team, assistant GM. Billy Owens, great guy. They just, you know.
Yeah.
So if they make that move, I believe that, you know, they would do very well there. Very well.
And I'm just being a little selfish, too. It's only like 3 hours away from L.A., 2-3.5 hours. So that's just like, you know,
instead of going up to Oakland. So, but I would love to see them there. And they would have a dome. You need a dome. You have to have a dome in Vegas or, you know, no. It's too hot in the summertime to play baseball outside. This is my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, 110, 115 degrees. So.
Yeah. If you could golf or have dinner with any three people dead or alive, who would you like to go with?
You said golf?
Golf or dinner. Either or.
Oh, I'm not golfing. Golfing is a good way to spoil a nice walk. Golfing is a great way to spoil a nice walk. That's just for me, you know. But to have three dinner with... Oh man, I have to go with that.
It'll be dinner.
It'll be definitely dinner. I'm going Jackie Robinson. Yeah. I'm going Jackie Robinson. Martin Luther King.
Yep.
He's like, oh, he's putting all the brothers in there. That's a great question. Jackie Robinson, Martin Luther King. You said dead or alive?
Dead or alive, anyone, yeah.
I would like to pick the brain of... I would like to... who's the richest man in the world? Well, it switches like every year. I would like to... his name Bezos? What is it?
The Amazon guy.
Yeah, Bezos, he's the guy
that... Jeff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that created like the electric cars... name of these electric cars.
Oh, Musk or Tesla.
Elon Tesla. Musk. One of those guys. I like to learn. I mean, you only get smarter hanging out with smarter people. So it's like, I would just like to ask a bunch of questions, you know?
Yep.
You know, I don't need what they have, but it's just, it would be nice to know, you know, how they did it.
Any particular place there, Tony, or like what kind of food do you like?
Oh man, I'm all over the place. I just don't eat beef or pork, but I love Filipino food, Mexican food, Chinese, soul food. But if they said, Tony, you're leaving the earth tomorrow, it would be my mom's. I go baked chicken, fried chicken, black-eyed peas, rice, cornbread, stuffing, mashed potatoes, sweet potato pie, and I just wash it down with, I'll go old school and just get all the diabetes and go get some Kool-Aid. So, yeah. But I'm open to everything, man. I was in Japan, and my buddy Alex tried to get me to eat some tongue. I'm not eating tongue, Alex. I was like, that's not happening. So, yeah, I was just like, I'll pass. Yeah, I like sushi, but there's no way I'm eating tongue. Yeah, so.
If you could be an Olympian in any sport other than baseball, Tony, what sport would you like to do?
Come
summer or winter?
Man. What? Come on. I'm the fastest dude in the world. I'm going Summer Olympics, the 100 meters.
You're going 100
meters. I'm going 100 meters. Because, I don't know how many of your other guests have said that, but, I think the 100 meters.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100 meters. Everyone watches 100 meters, man. Yeah.
Just head-to-head versus Usain Bolt.
That's all right. And I beat Usain Bolt. I'll take that. Yeah. You imagine that? That would be incredible. Yeah. Yeah. It would be the 100 meters for sure. But it would have been great. I'm glad that you excluded baseball, because I would have said just been on that USA baseball team. That would have been awesome. But
that would have been pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've always been fascinated with how they the way they can handle themselves at the starting block before the race.
Oh, but
and,
yeah,
you know,
but
like the false start, like, oh, it's impressive.
No, but when you're that good, man, it's just, they've been doing this since they were little kids. Then again, you cannot try to, you can't try to guess. Just wait here to just take off. They're like little cheetahs. Just take off, man. But some guys can guess, and they get that little half step on you. But the fastest guy is going to win because he can make up that half step. You know, he can make that half step up. But it would definitely be 100 meters. Yeah, that's because everyone's watching. At the time, going back from like
the main event,
Jesse Owens, the main event. Yeah. Main event.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just,
you imagine, but
here's my thing. You imagine you can run that fast for 100 miles and never got tired. That'd be great. Oh, where are you going this week? Oh man, I'm headed to Vegas. You know, I'm just going to sprint to Vegas. You know, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah, that would be awesome.
And then Tony, you actually kind of got my last question. You already said his name, but I was going to ask if you knew the Santa Monica High School grad that won a World Series in 1981 and played 19 years in the bigs. But you already mentioned his name.
Wait, in 1981, that was Rick Monday.
That was Rick Monday, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Ask me another one. Rick Monday, I mean, I don't know if you know, Tony Tarasco played there. Remember the guy? Remember the controversial play with Gio?
Yeah, I know Tony.
Yeah, he's from Santa Monica, like literally right down the street. Yeah, yeah. We've had so many great athletes here, man. So many great athletes. People in the business, it was a great place. Like I said, it was a great place to grow up. Now we kind of falling off a little bit in the sports though, because you got all these people that they got the daddy ball and the hoverers, the kids that, they're like Wonder Bread though. It's just like, you remember back in the day, I'm a little older than you. Just drop the kid off, let them practice, come home. You know, now the parents want to watch everything they do. You know, it's just like, go run a lap or something. That's just my opinion. It's just like, they have these personal trainers. They want to watch the
the trainer trained their kid, and the kid's like, "Mom, Dad, leave. I'll see you at home," you know. But it's just, I don't know. It's different.
It's a good point, though. Yeah, yeah.
Name is Pat Armstrong, and he played Arizona State. Just a great guy. You know, he gives lessons every day. So I had to drop something off to him one time at the park over at Clover Park. So I drop it off, and I see he's giving his lesson. The dad's like on the fence, looking through the fence. I mean, you can see he's like 2 yards away from his kid. I was just like, oh, man, I give it up to you, Pat, because I would say something. You know, I just like, I can't work like that. Just let the kid be a kid, you know?
Yeah.
I don't be a kid. Yeah, but hey, absolutely. I got a funny story for you, if you don't mind. If you don't mind, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
So I'm coaching at San Mike High School. Coaching at San Mike High School. And you know, we had a great team. We didn't lose a league game for years. Right? So, you know, I coached the outfielders. So one time his parent, I'm not naming names, parent comes, walks up to me, season's great at start, you know, the first two practices. And the lady literally walks on the field out to the outfield, say, "Oh, Coach Tony, oh, I have something for me." What could you have for me, right? There's no way you have something for me. I don't even know you like that. She had the audacity to hand me her son's Little League All-Star stats.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
so
those are important, like, when you're scouting.
Yeah. But you know what happened after that. So the next day, I made a sign, you know, I just, no parents beyond this point, locked it up, like, you know, had a little lock on the thing, and, but I'm always thinking ahead. Yeah, did he have talent? Not enough to make our team, so I might as well just nip this in the bud early, right? So, bottom line is, yeah, he's got to go, you know. And that's it. If parents, if you're listening to this, I'm just hear me out. The coaches, they know what they're doing.
Mm.
The coaches will put the guys on the field that they think that they can win with. They know it.
Yep.
Yes. And there's no need to second guess them, because it comes back on the coaches as well. You think the coaches want to lose? No, the coaches want to win.
Oh, 100%.
That's called job security. Yeah, it's called job security. It's called job security, I think, right? They want to win.
Well,
yeah, you know, right now, we get a lead, and, you know, I'll put the kid in. I don't have a problem with that, because if you make the team, at some point, you should be able to play. So, but it's those 9 guys out there on that field that makes that happen for your kid to play, especially if he's an underclassman and he's just, you know, then there may just be one guy. I'll take a guy on my team. He may not be as good as the other kid, but his effort and his heart, I'll take that all day. All day. I'll take him over the kid that thinks he's Superman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's
yeah, like a good opinion. Good, like a good clubhouse guy, right? Like,
yeah,
you can never...
Yeah. Can't replace those guys. You need someone that's going to, you know, he's going to be that fan for you. He's your cheerleader. Yep. But then again, he's good enough to play in the game as well, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I definitely, I totally, those are the guys that, you know, you'll always kind of want to see them succeed, right? Like, they'll always kind of have a jersey for them, right?
Always.
You know,
always.
You can have all the talent in the world, but I mean, if you're kind of being selfish and not necessarily playing for the team, right? I mean, it's those are the guys that just seem to kind of, I guess, weirdly write themselves out of the lineup, right? Or
Yeah. If you don't want to play for the
team, right?
Like, yeah. But if you don't want to play for the team, go play tennis. You know, go play tennis.
100%. That's right.
I want a team player, man. A team player. Someone's going to hustle, just do the right thing, because no one's bigger than the game.
She said, "Deacon, come from a land down under, where women glow and men plunder. Can't you hear the thunder? Yeah. You better run, you better take cover, yeah. You better run, you better take cover.